October 2, 1929. Only the divine will renders the creature happy. One prey to the other. One who does not have the true will to do a good is a poor cripple, and God does not want to make use of him. My abandonment and living in the divine fiat continues. Oh! How powerful is its creative strength! Oh! How dazzling is its light which, penetrating into the inmost fibers of the heart, invests them, and caressing them, it makes space for itself and raises its throne of dominion and of command, but with such enrapturing sweetness, that the littleness of the creature remains vanished, but happy to remain without life and dissolved in the divine fiat. Oh! If all knew you, O adorable will, oh! How they would love to become lost in you in order to reacquire your life and be happy of the very divine happiness. But while my littleness was dissolving in the divine fiat, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior, and clasping me very tightly to his divine heart, told me, "My daughter, only my divine will can render the creature happy. With its light, it either eclipses or puts to flight all evils, and says with its divine power, I am perennial happiness. Flee, you, all evils. I want to be free, because before my happiness all evils lose life. With one who lives completely in my divine volition, its love is so great as to transform the actions of the creature, and an exchange of life takes place between God and her. An exchange of actions, of steps, of heartbeats. God remains clasped to the creature, and the creature to God. They become inseparable beings, and in this exchange of action and of life, the game is formed between creator and creature, one makes oneself prey to the other. And in this becoming prey to each other, they play in a divine manner, they make each other happy, they make feast, and God and the creature sing glory, they feel victorious because no one has lost, but one has conquered the other. In fact, in my divine will no one loses, losses do not exist in it. Only of one who lives in my will can I say that she is my amusement in creation, and I feel victorious in lowering myself to let myself be conquered by the creature, because I know for sure that she will not be opposed to letting herself be conquered by me. Therefore, the flight in my will be always continuous. After this, I was thinking about many things that Blessed Jesus had told me about his divine will, his many ardent yearnings to make it known, and how in spite of the many yearnings of Jesus, nothing would arise to obtain his intent. And I said to myself, what wisdom of God, what profound mysteries, who can ever comprehend them? He wants it, he is sorrowful because there is no one who opens the way for his will, to make it known. He shows his heart yearning, longing for his divine will to make its way so as to make itself known, to form its kingdom in the midst of creatures. And then, as if he were an impotent God, the ways are barred, the doors are closed, and Jesus tolerates, and with invincible and unspeakable patience he waits for doors and ways to open, and he knocks at the hearts in order to find those who will be the ones who will occupy themselves with making his divine will known. But while I was thinking about this, my sweet Jesus, making himself seen all goodness and tenderness, such as to break the hardest hearts, told me, my daughter, if you knew how much I suffer when I want to form my works and make them known to creatures in order to give them the good they contain, and I find no one who has true enthusiasm, genuine desire and the will to make my work his life in order to make it known, so as to give to others the life of the good of my work, which he feels within himself. And when I see these dispositions in one who must occupy himself with it, whom I call and choose, with so much love, for the works that belong to me, I feel so drawn to him, that so that he may do well what I want, I lower myself, I descend into him and I give him my mind, my mouth, my hands and even my feet, that he may feel the life of my work in everything, and, as life that is felt, not as something extraneous to him, he may feel the need to give it to others. My daughter, when a good is not felt within oneself as life, everything ends up in words, not in works, and I remain outside of them, not inside. And therefore they remain like poor cripples, without intelligence, blind, mute, without hands and without feet. And I, in my works, do not want to make use of poor cripples, I put them aside and, heedless of time, I continue to go around in order to find those who were disposed, who must serve my work. And just as I did not get tired of going around the centuries and the entire earth in order to find the littlest one, so as to place in her littleness the great deposit of the knowledges about my divine will, so will I not get tired of going around the earth, over and over again, to find the true disposed ones, who will appreciate, as life, what I have manifested about the divine fiat, and these will make any sacrifice in order to make it known. Therefore, I am not the impotent God, but rather, the patient God who wants his works to be done with Bikaram and by people who are willing, not forced. Because the thing I abhor the most in my works is the unwillingness of the creature, as if I did not deserve their little sacrifices. And for the Bikaram of a work so great, which is that of making my divine will known, I do not want to use poor cripples. In fact, when one who does not have the genuine will to do a good, it is always a mutilation that he does to his soul, but I want to use people who, as I provide them with my divine members, would do it with Bikaram, as a work which must bring so much good to creatures, and great glory to my majesty, deserves.